risen Savior Jesus Christ. And Lord, we thank you for this season, that it is about Jesus and that it is about our Savior coming, so we can reminisce about this story. We can have gratitude in our heart for this holiday. So Father, I just ask that you be with these children up here. Let your Holy Spirit give them a peace and a calm. And Lord, we just thank you as they minister to our congregation today, Lord. Just bless them. Bless this congregation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Mountain, to the stage.
Go to the stage, guys. Everybody.
Can you just go up to the stage?
Okay. Great.
We're going to play this one.
Go help him. Go help him.
Okay, they're going to sing the first part of the song for you, and then I hope that you guys can join in with them afterwards.
Make announcements and somebody
gifted them to me. It's a shame not to take a gift. So you gotta take a gift.
Talking about gifts?
Oh!
How you doing? Merry Christmas! Praise the Lord. You know, we just want to appreciate this couple. The pastor and his wife, because I'm telling you, they have all the patience in the world. I was sitting back there in Sunday school and the Lord reminded me of something when I got here putting it in the evening seat. I put this thing up, it looked like a corral. I called the pastor, I said, hey, you might want to go out there. Check your condition. He said, what's wrong? It looked good. I said, you might want to check it. Well, he sent me a picture back after he fixed it. I thought, okay, that's how it goes. But, you know, they have all the patience and love in the world. We just want to give you a great thing. We appreciate y'all. All right. No, you're good. You've got some tape. All right. Okay. So after, we're going to have a special, right? So we're going to have, take this, live musician. We really do appreciate you guys. It's been a wonderful year. Just look around at your friends and families here. And it's just a miracle. It's just a miracle. I want somebody to go out there and take a picture of that parking lot. It's just wild. How much love and support that we have for each other, I just really think that it's the will of God for everyone's life, and if you're part of this community, we're very grateful for you, and I'm just excited to see what God's going to do in your life. He has a specific purpose for each one of us, but we know together that, you know, the world will know that Christ came because of our love for one another. So we're so excited about that. Announcements. We've got some announcements, but I'm trying. Do you have any more announcements? You're good. Okay, so we've got lots of retreats coming up. If you want some more information about that, they're in the back. We've got a full chaplain training coming up in August of next year. So if you're laity, anybody can do that. So it's over in Cleveland at the Theological Seminary. And so if you're interested in that, we also have youth leadership conferences. There's a lot going on. So if you're interested in any of that, please plug in. Anything else? You got it.
Nothing else. I just want to elaborate. I think it is very important that we take advantage of the opportunities that the Church of God gives us as far as these conferences and these teachings, because if you have a desire in this church, you're young and you are eager and you want to get into leadership, this is how we get equipped. Amen? We need to be equipped in our leadership. So these are opportunities for us, and if you are interested, please see me and Pastor. We will show you how to log in on the Dayton Church of God. We'll just get you there, okay? We'll help you figure it out. And if you need help or you need a sponsor, that's not an issue, okay? So we will be praying and helping you through this. Also, the other announcement was Winterfest. If you have losing an ornament, just hold on to it. So, last announcement is Winterfest. Is anybody in here familiar with Winterfest? Okay. So, usually this is geared towards the youth, like the teens, eighth grade and up. So, if you have a teenager and or you want to be a volunteer, we would really like this year to get our teens together and bless them with an opportunity to go to Winterfest, where they can worship their little hearts out and learn about Jesus and hear awesome words and fellowship with other children. So that is all that happened. Anybody else with a beard who wants these? My gift to you.
So before we do our special, we're just going to go to Lord in worship, and the way we start that off is just with our tithes and offering. We will be taking two offerings today. One is for the Smoky Mountains Children's Home. It's going to be a blessing and a donation. So, and then of course the second will be for our general tithe and offering. So. Smoky Mountain Children's Home, I think there's over 400 kids there, and it's just a good way to just give on Christmas, get some gifts and necessities for the year to come for these kids, and so we'll be taking up a donation offering for that. Ian, Chase, if you'd like to come.
I'll be working on it.
Father, we just come to you now. We thank you for your many blessings, God. So we just ask that as we give this offering, God, that it would just bless your heart, and that it would increase and multiply to help these children, God. You said you'd give us the spirit of adoption, and we're just so thankful for that. And so we just pray that many of these kids can be adopted, God, and we pray that this offering will bless you and bless them as well. In Jesus' name, amen. This is for the Christmas offering for Smoky Mountain Children's Home. It's in the kitchen porch. Make sure to take that off, Ron. Father, we just thank you for all you've done to provide for us, God. We can't give anything to you, Lord, that you hold all things in your hands. So we just, in faith, give back to you just our first fruits and how you blessed us, Father. Let us be a giving people. Let's give to others, God. And so we just pray that you would just multiply this seed, Father, and just bless all those who give and all those who don't, Father. We just thank you that we're able to gather in faith And in your name, in Jesus' name we pray.
In Jesus'
Amen.
Name. Amen. Hallelujah.
All right, without further ado, today's a little different. We're just going to be we'll be listening and just going to the Lord in our hearts and our minds. We're just going to go into worship here, and I just want to say a quick prayer, and then I'll invite a special guest. So, Father, we just thank you for this opportunity, for this time to be able to, Lord, just go to you and just worship you, Father. So anything in our heart, Father, we pray that you bring it up. And that you just, Lord, let us come to you and seek you. Show us the way, and let us worship you in spirit and in truth today. In Jesus' name, Amen.
Amen.
Megan, would you like to come?
I'm just excited and honored to be here this morning. I love this family that we have. And I just want us to take this time and look to Jesus and just honor his name and exalt him.
Yes.
So let's get to it. Baby,
Hallelujah.
This next song is so sweet, and it helps us to remember the night that Jesus came. And I'm so thankful that the Father sent His one Son to bring us back to Himself.
Yes.
So let's meditate on that while we worship.
Thank you, Lord.
Sweet hymns of joy.
Check one.
Check one. Check one.
All right. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Probably should have used that. That was just wonderful. We'll just give you one more. Awesome. Awesome, awesome. God gets all the glory. He is good. And that was fun. At this moment, we're going to release our children. And so, if you are a small child of God, you may go back to Children's Church this way. Sunday's full room. Miss Katie is leading the way there. Taking notes, the title of the sermon is Silent Night. Silent Night. You would turn to Luke chapter 2. Be in Luke chapter 2. We'll be beginning in verse 7. If you have your Bibles, if you don't have your Bible, we do have all the scriptures up on the monitor here. So let's go to the Lord's Word here, and then we'll pray one more time after reading the scripture. Luke chapter 2, verse 7. So the context here is Caesar demanded taxes, and the way, or a census, to see how many people he was taxing. The way he would do that is you would go back to your native home and then give a count, right? And so Joseph's birthplace was Bethlehem. And so while Mary was pregnant, Caesar called for a census, and so they traveled to Bethlehem, and there was no room in Bethlehem. Obviously, everybody was traveling back home, so all the hotel rooms were full, and so Mary and Joseph find their way to a stable, right, where the animals live, and that's where they were going to sleep. Probably didn't smell the best, look the best. So that's the context of the story here. Starting in verse 7. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be the sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God, saying, glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass that as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, and the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, and it was told unto them. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, as I deliver this message, God, I pray that you just break up any hard ground in anyone's heart here today. Lord, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So I pray that you would give faith, the gift of faith, the gift of relationship with you. Nothing we can earn, God, but it's by your power, your grace, your drawing. It says if we lift you up, Father, you'll draw all men unto yourself. So I pray that you just draw today. As we look to your scripture and we look to this silent night, help our hearts out. Prick us in our hearts. Call us by name. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And the church said, amen. Amen. A silent night it was. Everybody's, you know, just so excited. They've just totally picked up and moved out just so good old Emperor Caesar can take a census. Wrenching your plans there. If you didn't do this, you were, you know, guilty of fraud, basically, not paying the Roman Empire, and that'll get you in jail for sure. And so, didn't matter who you were obedient to the authority. And so this is where they find themselves. And it's like this time period of what God is doing has been a time of silence. Right from Malachi to the book of Matthew, there's about 400 years there. And even the book 2 Chronicles, there's about 400 years of space where God is predominantly silent. It's almost like when Samuel was born and was being trained by Eli in the temple, Scripture said the word of God was precious in those days because there was no open vision, which means God was only talking to a select few. And I'm sure God was still, obviously he was still working. We see in the book of Daniel the kingdoms that Daniel specifically describes. And so this is happening. Alexander the Great and the Grecian Empire came and gone, just as Daniel had said. And now Caesar has rose up. So it's not like God isn't working or doing anything, but predominantly there are no more minor prophets, no more major prophets. Everyone is on the same field, right? and no one is really hearing what God is going to do. They can only look to the Old Testament to what he said he would do. That's all they've got. He's not very audible with any particular people for 400 years since Malachi. Okay? And so the whole idea is silent, right? It's wanting answers, but having none. Right? You ever get the cold shoulder? Your spouse goes silent on you? I used to do that. I'm the silent. I know, no, let's talk about myself. But, you know, you're just left feeling empty. You're wanting consolation, you're wanting connection, you're wanting relationship, but you're just on silent, right? This is kind of what God was doing. And in the hearts of the people looking for anything, right? This is what we see. And then we start seeing rumblings, right? Where God begins to speak. We know he was speaking to people concerning John. Right? He was speaking to Elizabeth. He was speaking to Zechariah, who was in the temple and knew that John would pave the way. So there's rumblings. There's angels that have been seen, Joseph and Mary, right? But it was super isolated moment. It wasn't broad. It wasn't big. It was Joseph and Mary, and people had to believe them based on that account alone. And so not much has happened. There's rumblings going on. There's rumors going about. God must be doing something. We see Zechariah in the temple. He sees an angel. Right? Then we see the prophetess right after this scripture. They go to the temple. And a couple there, the Lord has told them, and the Holy Spirit was on them. So there were a few. There's always a remnant of faithful that God was speaking to, but the majority, he was not. It was nothing but a silent darkness, a silent night, so to speak. Which brings me to my next topic, the hymn, right? Silent Night. That's a big Christmas hymn there. I love this hymn. It was actually the first time. It's really where caroling started, and the first time this is mentioned here was in 1818, right? From a man named Joseph Moore. He'd written the lyrics, and his friend, I love his friend's name, Franz Gruber, right? That's his friend's name, put it to music. But on Christmas Eve in 1818, they sung Silent Night in an old parish where Joseph was the priest. Stories say that the organ broke and he was trying to get communion together to take on Christmas Eve, but he couldn't get the organ to work. He had written these lyrics 2 years prior, and so he's trying to figure out, he wants it to be inspired by God, and so he takes these lyrics to his friend. Puts music to it. If you go to that next slide, this is called Silent Night Chapel, right? There was actually a flood. This is where the parish used to be. This is in Austria. Oberndorf. Totally messing that up. Sounds like a name off the Lord of the Rings. Oberndorf, Austria here. And because of flooding and other things, they actually had to, the parish was destroyed and had to rebuild. But this is where this took place. And these are the lyrics, if you just read along with me. First verse here, it says, "Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright. Round young virgin, mother and child, holy infant, so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace, sleep in heavenly peace. Silent night, holy night, shepherds quake at the sight, glories stream from heaven afar, heavenly hosts singing alleluia. Christ the Savior is born. Christ the Savior is born. Silent night, holy night. Son of God, love's pure light, radiant beams from the holy face with the dawn of redeeming grace. Jesus, Lord, at thy birth. Jesus, Lord, at thy birth. Silent night, holy night. Wondrous star, lend thy light. The angels, let us sing alleluia to the King. Christ the Savior is born. Christ the Savior is born." I think he captures those scriptures in Luke 2 perfectly, right? Because that is exactly in the timeline of history what God was doing. He was just being silent. It was the height of the Roman Empire, rather a dark time if you were not Roman. You were very oppressed, very much taxed. You know, I probably feel something like you feel right about now. Well, I'm just saying, just look at your paycheck after you pay all the taxes, right? You're getting about maybe 50%, I feel like. But it was growing darker and darker, and especially just right after this. Look, this is the how barbaric the time was right after Jesus is born. The Jewish king, right, hears of his coming, knows the wise men, and goes and slaughters all the children under two. Right? If they're male, they're under two, kill them. And that really happened. And so, just a barbaric time to live in, a dark time, a time of mourning and wailing, but it was silent. If you would, we're going to go to John 1:1, and we'll see what John says here in his gospel. He starts it off like this. It says, "In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." That's what happened on that silent night. God's Word, how He brought everything into creation. He said, "I'm going to beget Him now. He's going to put on flesh and be born in an animal stall." lowly, as lowly as you get, as humble as you can get. And it says that in the midst of this silence, in the midst of this darkness, a great light has shone. But guess what? The darkness still has trouble comprehending. If you're living in darkness today, you will still struggle to comprehend what God did that faithful night, that silent night. I want to preach the gospel to you who might not know the Lord. There's a lot of people here, lots of friends and family. And so wherever you're at with the Lord, I'm just going to preach the gospel. And I want you to be open to the gospel. It's good news. It's not bad news. But these are eyewitness accounts. Any even atheist historians will not deny the fact that Jesus was a man that lived in Nazareth. These are all eyewitness accounts, and it is the he's the most written about person in history, number one, from eyewitness accounts. Number two, we tell time based on when he got here, and so that's pretty significant as well. So I just want you to really, really listen, really pay attention. Because first I'm going to talk about the silent night, this darkness. This will tear me up. But, you know, when there's silence, when there's darkness, when there's nothing, I'm very familiar with that, right? The Bible describes this darkness, and this is a life without hope. This is a life without God. This is a life where we don't acknowledge Him. We run from Him. We deny Him. But this is our end, and this is our state of being at the end of that pursuit. It's darkness. Because there was a great light, is what Scripture says. The light. And the light shineth in darkness, and darkness comprehendeth not. Jesus is the light of men, but without that light, our path is like this, right? Isaiah 59. If we go to Isaiah 59, and starting in verse 8, it really starts off there. It says, "The way of peace they know not." And this is what it's like to be in silence with God, right? If you can't hear God, if you don't know God, there's no light, because the Scripture says He is the light. And so without Him, it's void of light, that is darkness. I'm familiar with this. This passage speaks to me. This is really an accurate depiction of the heart without God. Starting in verse 8, Isaiah 59, "The way of peace they know not. And there is no judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked paths. Whosoever goeth in shall not know peace. Therefore is judgment far from us, neither doth justice overtake us. We wait for light, but behold obscurity. For brightness, but we walk in darkness. We grope for the wall like the blind, and we grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as in the night. We are in desolate places as dead men. We roar like bears and mourn sore like doves. We look for judgment, but there is none. For salvation, but it is far from us. For our transgressions are multiplied before thee. Our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us. And as for our iniquities, we know them. In transgressing and lying against the Lord, and departing away from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood. And judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth far off. For truth is fallen in the street. Iniquity cannot enter, yea, truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey." You become weak if you try to depart from evil. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no judgment. And he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his arm brought forth salvation unto him, and his righteousness, it sustained him, for he put on righteousness as a breastplate, and helmet of salvation upon his head. He put on the garments of vengeance for clothing, and was clad with zeal as a cloak. According to their deeds, according he will repay fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies. To the islands he will repay recompense. So they that fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun, when the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him, and the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgressions in Jacob, saith the Lord. As for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord. My spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I put in thy mouth, shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor the word out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth forever. So you see, he didn't start with garments of vengeance, but it all started here. God said he would bring a redeemer. And it all started here on this silent night. In the midst of darkness, God shone a great light. He was born of a virgin. He put on flesh, immortality, put on mortality. And if you don't know the Lord, that darkness is real. I remember it well. I remember it just like that. It's just like you're just totally blind. Just trying to find a wall that you can lean up against. But salvation is far from you, right? Hope is far from you. But this is why we remember Christmas, because this is where hope starts. This manger, this point in history, this is where all our hope starts. Starts with God manifest in the flesh. If not, you're walking in darkness. And you can't comprehend the light that I'm telling you about, right? With scripture will bear witness of itself. If we go to 1 John 1, it says, that which was... Now, this is 1 John, not John 1. This is 1 John 1, verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, the word of life. For the life was manifested right here. And we seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was from the Father and was manifested to us. Where was it manifested? It was manifested right here. In a manger, in Bethlehem, almost 2,000 years ago. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write unto you, that your joy may be full. Isaiah 7:14 says, therefore the Lord himself, remember this is Isaiah, this is all the way back to the Assyrian Empire. We're going way back. And this is when he wrote this. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, meaning God with us. It all starts here. How does God break the silence in time? Right? How does he break the silence in time? A virgin was born. How does he break the silence in your life, the darkness in your life? A virgin was born. 1 Timothy 3:16, it says, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, praise God, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. This baby and this manger is your only hope. Amen. At eternal life. It's your only hope at life after death. Amen. It's your only way. Scripture is true. I know this. And all I can do is testify and pray that you believe. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. I'm praying that God is pricking your hearts. I'm praying that you believe, because all I can do is tell you, I was in the darkness. I was groping at the walls as blind as can be. I was an atheist. I hated Jesus. I hated Christians. They were all hypocrites, and God turned me into one. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it. Well, if you want to get analytical, you know. The same person I hated, that's who God turned me into. Saul is on his way. Listen to this. Listen to this. Saul is on his way to put Christians into prison. Because they're all liars. According to him. He's a Jew. Christians need to be abolished. They're straying away from Judaism. What happened? A great light stopped him right in his tracks. The man who murdered Christians became one. Right? Wrote 14 epistles. Why would he? Why would he? Why would you be totally exiled from Judaism? Everything you grew up, everything you knew, it was because what happened to him. A great light was shown. But he comprehended. Are you comprehending the light of the world today in your life? Are you letting it shine in your life? Or are you satisfied with darkness? Satisfied with, this is all there is, this is all there will ever be? Are you satisfied with no hope? Are you satisfied with no purpose eternally, no direction? I need a light. Scripture says, the only reason we run from the light. that the only reason we run from the light is because it will expose our sins. And we're ashamed that we've sinned against a holy Creator. It says we've all went astray. But that's why Jesus said He came. He came to shine light in the darkness. And if we want to hear and have faith at this time that God has ordained that you be here, either randomly or through family members or whatever, God ordained it. I didn't want to be up here. I didn't want to come to this mountain. Just being serious. I didn't want to be a preacher or a pastor. I didn't want to be a Christian. Are you joking me? You gotta walk straight, do everything right. Who wants to do that? But that's the gospel. He changed my life. He wants to change your life. For the better. I didn't lose anything. I gained everything. I really did. And so, you know, what is Christmas about? Right? It goes far beyond our sweet kids singing musical specials, me up here preaching the gospel. Right? It's about a point in time that allowed shine in great darkness. If there's ever a dark time in our world, it's today. Right? You look at the Roman Empire, it's very similar to ours. It's a dark time, and you need answers. You need hope. You need everlasting life. You need forgiveness. Everyone does. And it hurts. We have to let that light expose our true nature, our true self, which is just fallen, right? But what it does is He comes on the inside and turns all the lights on. He makes you a bearer of light. Keeper of light. You're not the light yourself, for sure. But He said, I will, whoever knocks, I'll open, and I'll sup with him, I'll eat with him, I'll talk to him, I'll speak with him, I'll guide him, I'll lead him or her. You know? That's what I'm hoping God can do for you today, whether you've been in church, out of church, with the Lord, not with the Lord. However, your life is really light. Because the world is very dark. I'm going to end with this first John, or John. We'll end with the rest of what John said here. John, the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 9. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. He came into His own, and His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. It all started. In an old stinky manger. Animal poo, you know how angels go. It's a barn. Barns don't smell that good. That's how God is. He's not looking for the religious set up in the temple. He sends a Savior in an animal pen. It's simple. It's humble. It's meek. It's right. It's Jesus. The Son of God who has always been, but decided to leave his glory to feel what you feel. It's the only thing God did not know. No, he didn't know something. What? God didn't know what it was like to die. What it was like to feel temptation. The scripture says he came and he felt it all. He lived, he died the worst death imaginable. Beaten, whipped, bruised, crushed, hung on a tree, suffocated, and bleeding out. And the eyewitness account says that he rose again. Because everything he claimed to be was so. You can't escape this life. You can say you don't comprehend resurrection of the dead. I don't either. But I can tell you, it can change your life right now. If you believe. You just believe my words. These are eyewitness accounts. More first century documentation on the man Jesus Christ than any historical figure in history. There's a reason for that. But at the end of the day, it's all eyewitness. But God can make it firsthand. That's the difference. I didn't read a book and follow the rules and become a pastor and I'm up here preaching to you because it's just what tickles my fancy. I'm telling you, telling people there's one way and that's it, that's foolish. But the gospel is foolishness to those that are perishing. It's the power of God to those that are being saved. It is only one way. But there's only one way to have an experience with the Creator of the universe too. It's when you have faith in this eyewitness account. But you don't need to be like Thomas, doubting, sticking your hands in, making sure. He said, Thomas, you believe because you've seen. Blessed are they that believe without seeing. That's what Christmas is about. Don't lose it in all the gifts to your children. There was one gift. It was eternal life. Yes. And that's what we come here to do. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Altars are open if you're brave enough. A lot of people there. We all need prayer. But if you really need some prayer, come up. We'll pray a general prayer. And we'll all go eat. Father, I just pray for genuine faith today. Faith in your name. That we would serve you, God. That we would see the light and comprehend it. We would hear your voice calling. And we would believe this eyewitness account. That you were born of a virgin. Lived a sinless life and died for our sin on our behalf. Rose again because you was perfect and made a way for us to have eternal life. That though we may die on earth, yet will we live with you forever. God. So I thank you today, God. I pray that you would create new faith in here today. Believers. Not just churchgoers. Believers, God. Those who follow you and know that you're real. Change lives and hearts today. Give us your spirit. You said you're good. Anyone who asks for your spirit, you'll give it. And give us a new heart so we can live for you. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Bless you guys. My wife is going to speak now.
No, I was just going to let you guys know.